Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This deal materialized in the shadows. This came out of nowhere. This is maybe the most stunning trade, definitely that I've been a part of in recent NBA history, as far as it was never clearly out there. And you saw two teams in Rob Pelinka with the Lakers, Dallas Mavericks, Nico Harrison there doing this deal. And I'm told Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, the players, coaches, a lot of people on both sides with the Mavericks and Lakers had no idea. I can assuredly tell you it's a fact. LeBron James had no idea this was coming. Anthony Davis had no idea this was coming. I'm told Luka Doncic is still stunned about this trade.
We didn't even touch on this earlier, Keith. That was Shams yesterday morning. LeBron had no idea.
Let's not go that far.
Come on.
LeBron made the move, but the other guys might have been left in the dark. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Did you see the thing? Did I fall for a fake Twitter? I didn't dig into this. The Luka Doncic Instagram story. Is this true or false?
I don't believe I saw it. I saw his statement yesterday.
Oh, was that all the missed calls?
Is that a real thing? I didn't double check. I don't know if it was Photoshopped or not, but it was like his GM called him like a million times starting at like 2:15 in the morning on, and he like never answered.
I saw the video going around of Durant on the bench.
That was pretty good. They couldn't believe it. He and Bradley Beal.
That looked real.
That did look real.
Yeah.
Maybe those guys didn't know.
You never know with some of those videos, but they're like,
did you see the Kevin Durant, Gary Payton one?
Yes.
That was great.
The glove was talking trash.
Oh, and back and
forth. I did see that. Yes.
When you were my age, you were eighth off the bench.
It's actually a good line. I love Gary Payton, but that was a good line.
Yeah, when you were my age, you were, at the end of your career on the Celtics is what you were.
Yeah.
But no,
he did win a title, though, with the Heat.
So I think, there were quite a few people surprised. Don't tell me LeBron was surprised.
Yeah, no, LeBron, no. LeBron knows what's going on. But this is also why it's such a bad trade, is because nobody knew, and I don't mean just the players. I mean, no other GM in the NBA knew that one of the most coveted players in the league, one of the guys that you would legit label as untradeable, was available, and only you're only talking to the Lakers about a guy who is 6 years older, but is way more fragile, and like I don't know, who knows what the longevity is going to be with Anthony Davis, and one first-round pick. You got one future first-round pick for trading Luka Doncic?
That's a good point.
That is wild.
You need more picks in return. You probably could use another player off the Lakers.
The corpse of Pierce and Garnett got you 3 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps.
Good point. And the Lakers had another first-rounder just ready to go that they might use by the trade deadline on, what is it, Thursday?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't maximize the deal. But I don't think a core deal around Davis for Luka is as bad as some others. If you're trying to win right now, I know Luka just had them in the NBA Finals. I think there's merit to Kyrie and Davis on the court. They've wanted to play together a while. They fit better than Luka and Kyrie. Now, obviously, Luka and Kyrie can get to a Finals. Luka's been to an additional Western Conference Final. Maybe Luka and LeBron can figure it out in LA. I'm not saying they can't. But basketball-wise, a big and a ball-handling guard, that fits. And I'm not sure how well Dallas had it structured. So if you're trying to win right now, I wouldn't pick Dallas. I saw a headline today or a video today from First Take. Stephen A. said he has Dallas as the number one seed in the West. Well, they got a lot of work to do. I think right now they're 2 games over 500, ninth in the Western Conference. So they got a lot of work to do to get there. I think Dallas got better. I have some questions about LA this year, short term, Luka and LeBron. But long term, they have their next franchise star, which the Lakers always seem to get.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how both new duos sort of pick up and run, because on the one hand, I thought maybe both got better, but then maybe both got worse because Kyrie and Luka were just in the NBA Finals. So I'm like, obviously it wasn't that bad. And Luka, to me, the better player. So you just traded the better player from a finals appearance team. And then LeBron and Anthony Davis, I thought, like, when both guys were out on the floor, they were actually doing all right. Davis was having, like, an all-NBA type of season this year.
I mean, I said it earlier. I'd have to really sit down and rank him, but I would have him top 10-ish in the league. So you're trading Luka, who's a top 5 player, for a top 10 player. He's older, but I really don't think that's a bad one-for-one return. But you're right. There should have been more draft picks. And you can't just do a deal with one team. You have to open it up to the league. I'm guessing the reason the Mavericks did it, well, number one, it might be because their GM's in the bag for Nike.
So they're, I wouldn't rule that out.
And like weird conspiracy theories, I don't even know how weird they are, that the league wants a new superstar in LA, ratings are down, try to get Lakers, Celtics going again. Like, I think there's merit to all that. But the reason you would shop Luka quietly is because you probably don't want him to find out about it. You don't want him to get upset.
But this is the end result. Like, well, you need to pick up the horn.
Also, so what if he gets upset? You're trading him, and he's not playing in the meet. It's not like he's playing. He hasn't played since Christmas.
Yeah.
So he's not even out there. Like, I just don't think there's a massive downside to the rest of the league getting wind that you're shopping Luka. I think you would have gotten more, not less, even if it pissed him off in the meantime.
Yeah, I just think you are doing such a disservice. I mean, first of all, you also left your head coach in the lurch. He admitted, sitting next to him during the press conference, that Jason Kidd had no idea this was happening. And then nobody else did. So you could have called every single team in the league, and if you told them you were seriously trading Luka Doncic, be like, give us your best offer. The whole league should know in this circumstance. Otherwise, you just settled for a very short-sighted, short window. And he even said that, too, this Nico Harrison, who's going to get fired, like, next year, probably, once they realize how poor this has gone.
When Anthony Davis has a season-ending injury early next year, they're going to be
Luka and LeBron are in the conference finals or whatever.
They're going to be like, you're out.
They're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, like, you had Luka Doncic, and this is what you turned it into? But, yeah, like, you could call any team you want, any player. You could call about Wembanyama. You probably wouldn't get him. You could call about Giannis. Who knows? Maybe Milwaukee's hitting their head against the wall, and they're like, all right, maybe we need a major shakeup. It's the craziest trade I can think of because of the trade value of Luka Doncic. In other years, we've seen big-time star players. You know, when Carmelo Anthony got traded from the Nuggets to the Knicks, that was like a huge, huge deal. There's a lot of players involved. It's still not this. Like, when Kevin Durant's gotten traded a couple of times, it's not this. Or, I mean, I still, like, Charles Barkley, that's one of the first big trades I remember as a kid. He went from the Sixers to the Suns for 4 players. It was the classic, like, Haas for ponies type of trade.
Yeah.
And it was, like, Jeff Hornacek and, like, Andrew Lang and, like, all these, like, bums. And they got Barkley. But, I don't know, he wasn't 25 years old when they made that deal. Like, he wasn't the way Luka has been coming off an NBA Finals appearance, too, like a real surprise run to the finals. Like, you'd have a better selling point if you're Dallas if the Mavs were always like one and done. Same numbers for Luka, right? Like, same all NBA first teams, 30 points per game, 8-9 assists, 8-9 rebounds, but they kept losing in the first round. You'd be like, oh, they got to try something.
They can't break through.
No, they're in the finals last year against all odds, and you're like, nope, now's the time to trade him.
And
crazy.
He was in the Western Conference Finals, I think, 2 years before that.
Yeah,
so they've made some deep runs, and I didn't think that Mavericks team last year was overly talented.
They were not.
The team that made the Western Conference Final 2 years prior probably had more talent than we realized. I didn't know what Jalen Brunson was. I thought he was a nice little player.
Neither did Dallas.
So they probably were more talented in retrospect than I realized, but I don't think those are crazily talented teams, and he's dragged them to a Western Conference Final and an NBA Final. So I think Dallas got a better return than most, and even I am saying they should have more draft picks. I agree with you on that. I don't know that now's the time to make the move. This was Greg's point earlier today. Why do it at the deadline? Why don't you wait till the offseason? A lot of teams would give him a max deal. You don't have to give him the super max. You can trade him. So why not wait until the offseason? Yeah. Do it, really maximize shopping him around. There are other ways to do that. Plus, long-term, Luka's 25. I mean, I think that one's self-evident. So you better hit on this and hit on it soon. But I probably think more highly of Anthony Davis than a lot of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have more questions about Luka, his commitment to the game, his commitment at the defensive end, which I think are one and the same. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. I know you like to dabble in Keefspiracies.
Yes.
You don't rule out that this is league
I don't.
Orchestrated.
I wish I could, but I just feel like there's been too many superstars in the history of the game, like, and they just want to live in L.A.? I mean, maybe, but is this just like a marquee franchise? And between like Will Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Shaquille O'Neal and Dwight Howard and LeBron James and a bunch of other guys in there too, but those are like sort of like the mega star power guys that have all gone to, whether it be trade or just in free agency, they just happen to get over there and go to the Lakers. Like, I don't know. There's something there just because of how dumb I feel like this trade is that, I don't know, there's got to be some sort of conspiracy. I mean, you go back to, you had refs rigging games. Everybody thinks they're in the bag for the Lakers or just for whatever team LeBron's on, all these other things. So I can't rule it out. I mean, I don't. There's not like real proof other than this is such a shocking trade to so many.
The proof would be, the smoking gun would be that ratings are down. And you need a way to fix ratings in the league. And how do you fix it?
Yeah.
Boston and L.A., superstars in L.A. I mean, that would be the smoking gun. Proof is the wrong word for it. But I think that would be, you know, some of the tangential evidence that you'd look at and go, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, is the league the driving force behind this? The other thing I wouldn't rule out is this guy's experience at Nike, Nico Harrison, the GM. And not all of it's good. Again, one prominent entry on his wiki page.
Yeah.
Is during his time at Nike in 2013, he botched a presentation to Steph Curry.
Nice.
Coming out of Davidson.
How do you screw that up?
Well, actually, was that when he was coming out of Davidson? I'm not sure.
I think he might have already been in the league.
Where, according to Harrison, he may have called Steph Curry Seth, his brother.
Oh, well.
And the presentation used was made for Kevin Durant.
Whoops.
So he's referring to Steph Curry as Seth Curry.
No, not good.
In the PowerPoint, he's got pictures of Durant, not Curry. Yeah. How'd you say it earlier, Keith?
Imagine yourself on this.
And picture you.
Yeah, that's you. Just pretend that's you.
Or it's like, you know, on Twitch, he's just photoshopping his head onto Durant's body or whatever it is.
Just pretend that's you.
Brother, this guy stinks!
So, like, they had this presentation ready to go, along with not offering Curry a signature shoe. They didn't offer him a signature shoe.
No shoe for Curry.
It caused him to switch from Nike and sign with Under Armour. So you're right. That probably was after the start of his career in 2013.
And then the Mavericks were like, can we get this guy to be our GM? Sold.
So it's like, this is a Nike executive and it's LeBron in L.A. Yeah. Connect those dots. We know how influential Nike is throughout basketball, throughout the sport, at the grassroots level, all the way up through the Olympic team. Do I need to remind you about Jaylen Brown and his gripe with Nike hoops? So... or Nike basketball and, you know, the hoops community.
Yeah, yeah.
So that whole connection I can't rule out. And when you want to tell me that LeBron had no idea, the guy who used to work for Nike was the driving force behind it. You want to tell me LeBron wasn't consulted on it? Please.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll go with conspiracy theories. Like, was Nico Harrison making this move for his current employer, the Dallas Mavericks, or his former and probably future employer, Nike, when he gets blown out of this job in a couple of years?
I think he also, was he the guy that was there when they just let Jalen Brunson walk? I think so.
Was he in Dallas when
I
that happened?
I think he was.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was like his first year on the job. It's like, yeah, we're good with you. Like, you know he's really, really good, right? Like, nah, we don't see it. So, he got a real eye for talent, this guy. But yeah, just sitting up there, it was one of the more awkward press conferences I've ever seen too, because he's trying to answer these questions and then Jason Kidd looks like, you know, he's being held against his will.
You want to play some of this, Nick? We had it penciled in for a rejoin coming up, but let's play
it's
it now.
Really
we'll play something else coming back. This is Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd makes a little cameo at the end that I mean, highlights a lot of his frustration.
Jeez.
You mentioned you think this will work in the short term and the long term. Short term makes great sense. How do you see this working out well for the organization in the long term?
Well, I think the long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now, the future, 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and J-Bud in. Or we bury ourselves.
Yes. I'm not going to be here.
We'll bury
ourselves. He's like, no,
we're burying
you.
Ourselves with this stupid trade. Is what
I love
he said.
How he's like, the guy who's in his prime at 25 doesn't fit our window now.
It's amazing.
It's like, well, no, he can be. He just got you to the finals last year. He's been one of the 5 best players for the last 5 years, unanimously. And you're like, well, this other guy fits our window. No, you mean he's older and he's closer to the same age as Kyrie?
And think out the Nike basketball thing, and now maybe I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because Kyrie's no longer with Nike. But when Harrison was at Nike, Kyrie was there. And so he's running the organization like Kyrie is the central force and not the 25-year-old superstar.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here.
So I don't hate this trade as much as most people because I do think short-term Dallas is better. And I think Davis and Kyrie fit, and I'm on board with that. Although Kyrie can tank anything, as we've come to see.
Oh, yeah, he can.
I'm on board with that aspect of
it. All right, if they played a
series. But some of the defense about like 3-4 years from now, 10 years from now, all this, if they play a series, I'm picking Dallas over the Lakers.
All right, I'll pick
this year right now, I'll pick Dallas.
I'll pick the Lakers. I hate to do it because it's LeBron, but it'll be Luka.
Yeah, you've been so critical of LeBron. I feel like you're talking yourself way back into LeBron all of a sudden.
But I also hate Kyrie, so it's a wash. I mean,
fair.
You know, if they go against each other. But what would be amazing is if that did become. So right now, the Lakers are the 5 seed and the Mavericks are the 9. So there's no guarantee right now the Mavericks even make the real playoffs. Although it's all pretty close. But can you imagine that playoff series? Luka versus Dallas would be incredible.
Be great to watch. Great for ratings.
And if it happens.
Great for ratings, Keith.
Yeah, then you got to admit something's screwy.
The Keith-spiracy is up to something. Let me ask it this way. Do you think Luka wins a championship in L.A., whether it's this year or at all? During his time in L.A., do you think he wins?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I do.
Pretty much every superstar that goes there wins. So, yeah, I think he's going to win.
Yep.
LeBron went there and won. Shaq went there and won.
Pau Gasol. He won.
Teamed up with Kobe.
At a high level. Yeah, it might not be with LeBron, but there'll be some other wave. There'll be another guy I don't even know who that is like, oh, yeah, he's also going to go to the Lakers somehow. They're going to try to make it happen.
He might not win with LeBron, but
he will.
During Luka's time as a Laker, he's going to win, which I guess if I answer it that way, even all my concerns about how he's eating his way out of the league is strong. But like the commitment to the game or lack thereof, which is a credit to the Celtics guys. I mean, Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Oh, those guys are.
They play every night. Yeah. They're in ridiculous shape. They're two-way players. Like if you really want to point to a trade and prop up your guys here in Boston versus Luka, the reason he's gone is his commitment to the game or lack thereof. Even with those questions that I have about Luka, and this is not just parachuting in because he got dealt. We talked about it during the NBA Finals last year. Windhorse ripped him a new one. Anonymously from members of the Mavs organization in the middle of the finals last year. Even acknowledging all those questions, I still bet he goes to the Lakers and wins at some point during his tenure there because they all do.
I mean, he plays like big minutes. So people that are worried about his weight, is it what they think that the longevity is not going to be there or like on a season to season or is it game by game?
Didn't he look worn down by the finals last year?
He looked tired in game one.
Yeah, he did.
So like it's that. I said this a little bit during the crossover today. Courtney's like, well, he's still really good with his frame. True.
Yes, he is.
But would he be better? If he really committed himself like Jaylen and Tatum commit themselves to the game, would he be better?
I mean, if he's averaging 39 and 10 as a fat, like I'll still take it.
I know, but if
maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has.
Turns out, no, the answer was no. But,
I'm a little,
would he not break down by game one of the finals would be the point.
Yeah, no, I guess.
You know, like he's putting up 30 a night.
Yeah.
And maybe
Adam Silver shortens the length of the games and then takes that away, now it's going to be advantage.
That's true.
Because, like, I look at Jokic and I'm not like, oh, my God, that guy's going to win an Ironman contest.
But it was one of my criticisms of him before he won.
But
then he won.
Yeah. Not everybody's going to be like the Jaylen Brown, Giannis type of build, and he can still be successful.
It's true. So, look, he's a high-level player. I think it's a real debate. Would you start a team with him or Tatum? I think that's a real debate.
Yep.
Tatum, to me, is a bit cleaner of a player, as we just illustrated, but Luka's more skilled and more high-end out of the two. So I think it's a real debate who you'd start your team with. But I think Luka has some real red flags. It's why a guy at 25 years old on the verge of a Supermax gets dealt. So let's get to your phone calls here. Eddie is in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how are you? Listen, I'm wondering about Cuban. If it's possible, he just did not like Luka. And then you always have to wonder, what about Kyrie? There's a lot of people that absolutely think he's a basketball genius. I think he's a moron. But I'm almost wondering what part Cuban played in this topic. Cuban must not have liked the guy.
Okay, so Cuban's not really running the Mavs anymore.
Yeah, Cuban sold the Mavs.
So I think you're asking it the wrong way. And I think this is something that's potentially instructive to the Celtics and their sale. We all go, oh, well, get Bezos in here. Get Larry Ellison in here. You know, get in. Jeff Lurie is the name that was kicked around last week or the week prior. Like, get those guys in here. Well, there's new ownership with the Mavs. It's not Cuban. I bet this trade doesn't happen if Mark Cuban's still running the Mavs. I bet this trade does not happen.
Yeah, probably not. Remember how obsessed he was with Dirk? Now, Dirk did win him a title, but like he was obsessed with Dirk and like whatever it would take.
Who runs the net? The Adelson estate, right? His
something like that.
Ex-wife or kid or something like that. I forget who's running the
Miriam Adelson.
Thank you. The Mavs now. It's not Cuban.
No.
In fact, it was the same thing as Wick Grosbeck. Oh, Cuban's going to stay on and he's still going to run basketball ops. Wrong.
Yeah.
That's not right. The money controls the whole thing like it would here with the Celtics. So this is where I think there are some interesting takeaways with Boston. If new ownership comes in, are they making a similar trade a year or two in? Are they trading Jaylen Brown, or are they trimming off pieces?
It's possible.
Not this year, or not even this offseason, but two or three years down the line when new ownership comes in, do they look at it and go, I'm not paying these guys $350 million, $400 million, whatever the deals are, I'm not doing, or whatever Luka would have been up for. You don't know with new ownership. The Mavs didn't know with new ownership. And I think if Cuban were here, the trade never would have happened. So I think the caller had that one backwards.
So Brad Townsend, who covers the Mavericks for the Dallas Morning News, he tweeted out yesterday, I asked Mark Cuban for his reaction to the trade of Doncic, whom the Mavericks acquired on draft night 7 years ago under Cuban's watch as majority owner. Cuban responded with four letters, MFFL. No, you know what that means?
Mavericks fan for life, something
yeah,
like that?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was going to say the way it started was how I would have answered
like,
it.
It sounded
yeah.
like FML. I'm sorry.
Yeah, FML.
MFFL.
No, MFFL. That's all he said. Mavericks fan for life.
Okay, but that's not a defense of the trade.
It's not really anything.
That's like when people yeah. used to say, when the Patriots make a trade that you hated, you go, well, in Bill, I trust.
In Bill, we trust.
That's all that is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to bury the Mavericks, but yeah. I can't imagine he's thrilled with it.
So you can jump in on this all day long. 617-779.
And Luka, actually, when he wrote his Dear Dallas thing, mm-hmm. he started that with, or he tweeted it out. It was like written out where he didn't thank the team. He didn't thank players, coaches, or anything like that. He did thank the city of Dallas. And then he wrote hashtag MFF.
There it is. That's unfortunately not the way it's going to go down for Luka Doncic. He's now a Laker for life,
mm-hmm.
Or at least for the foreseeable future. So you can jump in on this all day long. I'm sure they'll be talking about it on WEEI afternoons as well with Hart and Fitzy today. You can tune in for them at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, what does this say about the Celtics? And what does this say about Tatum and Brown on this team, the future of the Boston Celtics, their role in the NBA compared to a budding super team like the LA Lakers?
I got Dallas as the number one seed in the Western Conference right now. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Oklahoma City has looked fantastic. And then we saw Chet Holmgren go down and then ultimately Hartenstein go down, right? If you're looking at Oklahoma City, as great as they have been, what has been their Achilles heel? Recently, the Dallas Mavericks had lost 5 of 7 games. The 2 games they won was against Oklahoma City. Mm. Who did they bounce out in the playoffs last year? Oklahoma City. So the Dallas Mavericks seem to be an Achilles heel for OKC. OKC is great and as talented as they are and adding Hartenstein. Well, let me ask anybody out there with just a scintilla of a basketball brain. If you had the opportunity to get Isaiah Hartenstein, or Anthony Davis, who you picking? Well, the Dallas Mavericks got Anthony Davis.
I like Stephen A.
I'm still trying to figure this one out.
What was that?
First of all, I used a word in there that I was unfamiliar with. So that threw me off.
Hartenstein. That's a player on OKC. He used to play for the Knicks.
No, not the name. The word he said. If you have a what of basketball?
A scintilla? Is that what he said?
I think so.
Is that what he said?
A scintilla of a basketball brain.
I'm going to need you to explain that to me like I'm 5 years old.
I've heard the word.
What does that mean? Is that used properly? Probably.
Yeah. You have a smidge.
A scintilla?
Just a touch. You have just a touch of basketball sense.
So that threw me off.
Yeah, okay.
I'll be honest. I kind of stopped there for a minute.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let me make my point by asking, would you rather have Isaiah Hartenstein or Anthony Davis? I'm like, is that the question?
Look, he's
in this scenario.
He's a very skilled debater. Keith.
He's very good. No, he's very good. He's very entertaining. But I'm saying if you had Isaiah Hartenstein and Luka and Kyrie, or would you rather have just Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving? I'd rather have the scenario with Luka Doncic.
Well, he also pointed out, I think very astutely, that Dallas knocked OKC out of the playoffs last year. That's a good point.
They're like their kryptonite.
Right. Who was on Dallas when they knocked them out a year ago?
I would say a pretty big part of that team was one Luka Doncic.
So I know they won 2 games recently against OKC without Luka, who's been out since Christmas. So I get his point there, but I feel like he was leaving out a big chunk of that. Dallas, number one in the West. I'm not going there. But who's more likely to make a run this year in this postseason, Dallas or L.A.? I'm going Dallas.
I'm going with L.A. Do you know who the Western Conference Finals MVP was from a year ago?
I'm going to guess Luka.
They got rid of that guy. They got rid of that guy, but they got Anthony Davis because he aligns better with Kyrie's window, apparently,
yes.
Which is closing any day now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that is that's a very, very strange one. And so even if they can beat Oklahoma City Thunder, that's great. They're going to have to beat other teams as well. So there's no, because you talk about all this stress, but they've lost all these other games.
You acknowledge, though, OKC is probably the biggest threat in the West.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're playing the best.
I respect Denver.
I was going to say, I have a hard time. Now, made me look stupid last year because I just assumed they were going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic is having another one of these insane years, one of the greatest statistical years like ever. So I still like Denver more than I like, say, Houston or Memphis, who are also playing well and are, you know, have good records.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, Memphis is a team that we shouldn't sleep on out west.
No, they're good.
They beat the Celtics earlier this year handily. They've been the second seed in the Western Conference
now for a
big chunk of the year. It's true.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a team we probably shouldn't dismiss. I do dismiss Houston. And the Lakers, by the way, are right now fifth in the West. And that was with Anthony Davis. They make this move.
Yeah.
When is Luka supposed to come back?
They were saying before the All-Star break.
Okay.
So that's coming up, right?
That's
this
real
month? That's like
a couple of weeks, yeah.
I mean, who knows? I think they said the last thing I read was they're hopeful he'd be playing before the All-Star break. Now,
something
that was also for Dallas.
Something tells me he's going to come back a lot quicker in L.A.
Yeah.
than he would have in Dallas. Despite being MFFL, a Mav for life.
Mav fan for life.
I'm sorry, a Mav fan for life. Something tells me he's going to come back a lot quicker in L.A. than
he did in
Dallas.
It's different than, remember when Ben Simmons got traded finally? And then, Maverick Carter or whatever? Or Rich Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, we're excited about this, and he's gonna like start playing basketball soon. And you're like, wait, what? Like, he hasn't even been playing. He's not ready to go right now. Like, it was the weirdest thing ever because there's all this back and forth about whether he get traded, and then he like hadn't even started playing basketball or getting into shape yet. But no, I bet Luka plays sooner rather than later, and I think there'll be like a honeymoon period.
Yeah,
I think Luka and LeBron
that's
together.
That's not an easy fit. There was a honeymoon period with LeBron and Wade when they were both on top of their game and in their primes, and it took them 10, 12, 15 games, whatever it was, at the start of Miami. That 10.
No, I'm saying I think it'll be quicker.
I think
honeymoon meaning like good. I think
you're
it'll
right.
be like.
I was thinking adjustment.
You're thinking of your honeymoon.
No. No, you're right. I tend to make things negative, including honeymoons. No, you're right. I was thinking adjustment period.
Honeymoon. Yeah. I think both duos actually, because I was like, I said this earlier, like my head was spinning. I wake up on Sunday morning to see this trade, and I'm like, I know how I feel about the long-term ramifications. I don't even think that's up for debate. But for the rest of this season, I went from thinking both teams got better to both teams got worse back to both teams got better, like in a weird way. Like I think, you know, they probably need to make another move, the Lakers do, to maybe add a big who they wanted even when they had David. Like, Davis is like, I don't want to play center anymore. I need another big.
Well, if the Lakers make another move using the first-round pick they didn't give to Dallas, they have an extra first-round pick they could have thrown in the Dallas deal. Dallas should have demanded. You made that point over and over and over again. They're like, we're good with
one. Seems
like
a lot of work for us.
We'll do you a favor.
Yeah.
So if they utilize that first-round pick to go get a big or to go get Jimmy Butler, if you want to, you know, go there, then that will make this trade could look even worse, is my point, in the coming days with the trade deadline on Thursday. I'm with you. I don't think the Lakers are done. We'll see how large of a deal they're thinking between now and then.
It'll be interesting to see some of their rotate, not to turn into Lakers radio, but to see like Dalton Connect or Austin Reeves, like just how wide open they're going to be sometimes. So these other guys can really benefit from it because like, how do you try to defend Luka and LeBron? Because both are good passers. Luka's, they're the best offensive player in the league.
How do you defend? You just make your baskets at the other end. Like you just got.
You should be able to.
You
score
just got to
outshoot
them because that's how you defend against the Lakers.
But I wonder if there's
you
somebody,
run down the other way and make Luka tired at that end. That's how you defend.
Is
him.
There somebody available to them that like just plays defense?
Probably
like a healthy Time Lord. Can they find a healthy Time Lord play defense?
They could probably trade for Time Lord right now.
Yeah, but he's gonna get hurt in a second. Like you need somebody that's a little bit more durable than that.
Would you have traded? This is a fantasy land trade because it's not going to happen. I don't even think the Celtics can do it based on their standing with the luxury tax and the apron, et cetera. Jalen for Luka? Is that a better deal for Dallas?
So it's a better deal if you're thinking about the next 5 years, but they seem to be making this trade like for this year and next. So, like, this year and next, it probably is Anthony Davis.
Don't think like them. Think like you.
I would rather have
Jalen Brown.
I'd rather have Jalen Brown. Yeah, because I think you're good right now, and you have a good backcourt. Those guys actually, even though they once butted heads, they're now friends, Kyrie and Jalen Brown. I think you'd be...
Oh, that's true.
You know
what
I mean?
They would actually love to play together. I didn't even think about that.
At one point, they would have hated it. Now they would have loved it. Like, when they were actually together, they would have hated it. Now that they're apart, they would have loved it. No, I think you're better for the future. Like, I think you and I do differ on Anthony Davis. Like, you like him more than I do. So I would take Brown because then you have kind of both things. You're like, hey, you and Kyrie, maybe you guys play a little bit better together. And then when Kyrie eventually blows it up or just, like, retires or, like, starts his own league or whatever, like, at least you have Jalen Brown to sort of build guys around him going forward.
No, I actually haven't highlighted a lot of Anthony Davis's risks and red flags, and he has plenty of them.
Yeah.
I just feel like people are way too down on him as a player, and I think seeing him as a lead guy, or you know, a 1A and a 1B with Kyrie, I do think you're gonna see what he can do more so than playing in the shadows of LeBron, where you look at him and you go, he's a good player, but I think you forget how high end of a player he can be, but he's hurt all the time, so yeah. He could get hurt the second he steps on the floor for the Dallas Mavericks.
He's hurt right now, right? Isn't he?
Both he and Luka are hurt right now. It's crazy.
Which is kind of perfect.
Two injured players.
Yeah.
And it completely turned the league on its head.
Uh-huh.
Would you start a team with Tatum or Luka?
So a year ago, I would have, or for the last 5 years, I would have said Luka. I think now Tatum.
Tatum is safer by a lot.
Yeah, and that might be why. I'd say Tatum, obviously a better all-around player. Not that he's, you know, Scottie Pippen on defense, but he's a good defensive player. And yeah, I feel a little bit better about like his longevity than I do Luka.
Yeah.
So he might be one of like three guys that I wouldn't trade.
If Luka puts it all together, the answer is Luka, but you don't know that he's going to put it all together.
Yeah.
So I think if you want to be a little safer and if you're starting a franchise, you got to factor that in.
So it's one of those things where like, if you start
with Tatum, but the higher end skill player is Luka.
But I can also see it this way. Like if you're literally doing like an expansion draft,
yeah.
I could see you maybe taking Luka first. However,
build your team around his skill
set. But if you're the Celtics, you're like, I'm not going to trade this guy for him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
I already have him. I already know he works here. We're trying to win another title. So I'm not going to blow this thing up. But just about anybody else, like I think Bill Simmons still does his, trade,
yep.
Whatever he called, like the power rankings or whatever, for like the most tradable
trade
player.
Trade value chart.
I think that's what it is. How many guys do you think would be above Luka? Like for you?
We could probably pull it. Oh, for me personally?
No, for you. I'm just saying that's the idea. It's like to me, it'd be probably Wembanyama.
Yeah,
Tatum.
He'd be a little Jokic. He'd be a little lower on that chart than like where he stands in the hierarchy of the game because of what you said, Wemby and players like that. But yeah, he's probably still top five ish that chart.
I think
he's a no doubt top five player. He's probably still top five on that.
Yeah. So that's how I view it. And that's why it was just so insane that it got done. And you find out later on that they were only talking to the Lakers. It was like, all right, you're gonna make a move like this. You might want to pick up the phone.
Doesn't seem like the best way to get the best deal done. Real quick, Ralph and Cranston's waiting patiently on the Patriots. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, guys. First of all, look, I build the trenches before I'm looking at a high-paid receiver coming in. And I think Rabel knows this. He's got to build up those trenches. We need a couple of years of that. Then you'll have a receiver that can come in. Now you're ready for that. You know, this trade that you just talked about, you know, it's funny because the Lakers did it for the future. But you mentioned Tatum. Guys, I don't know if you agree. I think Tatum mentally has regressed this year. He's taken those shots. He's got his arms straight up. He's got his hand bent. I don't think mentally he has to regroup and get back to what he did last year where he was giving up the ball. I don't like his attitude.
Ralph, did you catch him this weekend?
I was going to say, Ralph, maybe. I had some criticism of Tatum last week during the week.
How about
when
the weekend?
He went scoreless in the first half of that game against the Rockets. Tatum and the Celtics.
Yeah.
Well, Tatum especially had a good weekend.
He had a game winner against the Pelicans, and then he was part of a 26-point comeback where he had like 35 or whatever.
The game winner, I'm sure you've seen the sideline footage, Keith.
Pretty sick.
I'm sure a lot of you out there have as well. Like, that's the guy's in his face. He's like, you're lucky. And he just stares him down.
And as soon as he hit the shot, he just stares right into the camera.
Right into the camera.
So that was badass.
It was.
So, no, that was a great weekend for Tatum. I don't know about what
they came back
really
from,
what he's talking about.
They came back from 26 down against Philly.
Yeah.
He was great in the fourth quarter. So the timing on your criticism, Ralph, is, I would say, not great.
Yeah.
If it was last
Thursday
week, I was leading that charge.
Yeah, no, he was good.
I would say today, not the greatest timing for it.
Also, I don't love the idea of taking 2 years to build the trenches. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You build the trenches for 2 years, then you get a receiver. You got to speed that process up.
You can build the defensive trenches with a trade for Myles Garrett.
I'd do it.
Which we can get to coming up.
I would do that.
We'll circle back to that. We still have Grab Bag and Clip du Jour on the way. Plus, a busy, busy, busy sports weekend.
Huge.
Even without any NFL games. There was your Pro Bowl games. But no real NFL games this weekend. Rich Keefe, if you missed the Royal Rumble, has a full Rumble recap for you next.
All right, we are coming off a Royal Rumble weekend, and that right there is the theme song to your men's Royal Rumble winner.
I like that.
Main event, Jey Uso. Legit a surprise, Jones.
Yeah, I don't remember that name coming up a lot on Friday.
No, he really didn't. And Billy, you said you looked up the odds after the fact. His odds on some of
plus 1,600.
Whew! Woo!
Based on yes, the ones I printed that's on juicy.
Plus 1,600. So fans don't know what they want, though, because apparently fans were pissed about the results of both Rumbles. So the female Rumble, Charlotte Flair, the daughter of Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, woo, she won. Now, she came back. She was out the game. Also, according to TMZ, getting a divorce. So a lot going on in the world of Charlotte Flair. She was married to Andrade, who is an AEW wrestler. So that has come to an end, but that's all right. Because
Andrade's here. They're both here now.
Oh, he's in the WWE now?
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be awkward.
So she returned, and he's been there. He's been here for a while. I forget. Maybe it was last year's Rumble. He came back.
Oh, no.
Not good. Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Sometimes maybe these long-distance relationships, they become close distance, and you're like, wait a minute. I don't even like you.
Yeah, you really bother me, actually.
So those two
close quarters
have split. She also looks a little bit different, but I'm not going to get into all that. So she wins that. She was the favorite, though. So she was the big favorite, and then she ended up winning. And as we talked about on Friday, because it's such a big part of the storyline, the Rumble, you can't just throw it away and give it to somebody really surprising, because they get to pick a belt to wrestle for at WrestleMania, and they build it up for 3 months and all that. So the men's Rumble is a little bit different, and the thought was either John Cena in his final Royal Rumble, or CM Punk, or maybe Seth Rollins would win for storyline and all that stuff. So then you get down to it, and they get down to two guys in the ring, just two left, John Cena and Jey Uso.
So everybody was expecting Cena to win.
Yeah, so you're like, all right, Cena's going to win this thing. And then, lo and behold, Uso eliminates him. They play his music. Place goes nuts. The next day, they said on the WWE YouTube page, they put like little highlights of each wrestler, and the dislikes outweighed the likes
for both.
Now, it was a little bit closer for Uso, but people were pissed that they brought back Charlotte Flair to win the Rumble, I guess. Like, hey, why don't you give it to somebody who's been wrestling like all year? And then with Jey Uso, I think they were talking themselves into Cena or Punk, and it didn't happen. And so now Jey Uso. I actually like this, because when it's just the obvious one, it's like, okay. Like, you get down to it.
Well, right. You fill in the gaps for me. If John Cena wins the Rumble, and now he's at WrestleMania, it's probably a foregone conclusion he's winning his match there,
He might win that, and it's also like, all right, you go with, a lot of times, like the safe pick and the guy that you can kind of market for the road to WrestleMania. So Jey Uso is a legit surprise. I mean, plus 1,600, I think that's pretty good. Also, what time do pay-per-views start nowadays, Bill?
This one started at 6 p.m. on Saturday.
6 o'clock on a Saturday. So here I am.
Not too late? What's the criticism?
Way
here?
Too early.
Way too early.
I turned it on at 8 o'clock. I already missed the Women's Rumble. I was like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah, it used to be 8 p.m. stats on Sunday.
8 o'clock.
Got it.
So I turned down. I got my brew dog. It's on Peacock.
Nice.
So I got my snacks. I got my brew dog. I sit down, turn it on. And it was like commentary being like, and once again, congratulations to Charlotte Flair. I'm like, for what? Showing up? They're like, no, for winning the Rumble.
So you missed the whole thing.
I missed the whole thing.
So what did you go back and watch it?
Yeah, I went back and like skimmed through some of it. The rest of it I watched live. Like the men's Rumble I watched live. Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens had like a really entertaining ladder match. I watched that live. One of the issues though is, so they're doing it at Lucas Oil Stadium, right? So where the Colts play. The ramp, way too long.
Oh no!
So these poor guys,
they're running in. They're gassed.
These guys gonna sprint.
Looks like Luka running free throw line to free throw line.
Is that a 40-yard sprint minimum, Bill?
Easily.
Like these guys are hauling ass, and you're like, that's a pain. Because some of their gimmicks are like, oh, I'm cool. I can just walk to the ring, which is where it's at.
Yeah.
These guys sprint full go, then they gotta get in, then they gotta wrestle.
Why are they sprinting in?
So some of them, it's like, hey, a little momentum. So what they do is two guys start, and then they do a countdown clock. And people are like, we don't know who's going to be. And then the music hits, which is like the best part.
I like that Uso music. That was nice.
The Uso music's good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fans are behind him, though.
Okay.
Despite the YouTube dislikes. People seem to like him. He says the phrase yeet, which I think is for like a younger generation.
Uh-huh.
I think it's allowed. You can say it on the radio. He says yeet. He's church and everything else. So people are all fired up about it. Although then John Cena, they also do post-game press conferences, which is pretty slick.
And wait, so, like a not just like a walk off interview, like a real like Q&A with
media.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Just at WrestleMania?
No,
I'm sorry. Just at Rumble? At everything?
Every pay per view.
Wow. Okay.
And so sometimes it can turn into a shoot, meaning like it's not scripted and like they kind of do their own thing. So CM Punk famously, when he was in AEW, he went back and was sitting right next to Tony Khan and did a whole shoot interview about how awful the guy was in the ring with him and like all these guys are terrible, like just ripping everybody, like real. And so this wasn't like that, but John Cena basically said he's going to be in the Elimination Chamber coming up and he's going to wrestle for the title. It's what's best for business. He cut a pretty good promo, even though he lost the Rumble. Also, it's tough watching Cena now, Bill. He's got kind of...
He's old. He's old. Old.
He's an old
He needs to lose the tube socks.
He also needs to just shave his head.
And
he,
shave
not
his
to be a hair shamer.
I know, it's true.
You got to bring that back?
Quick in the back.
So is he,
he's gone back there.
He's a little...
he's slimmed down, big
That's
time.
What I was just going to say. Yep. He's not too, quite is he too jacked. Thin?
No, he's not too thin.
Any
he's
of us would murder to look like he
No, I get that, but like...
Bodybuilder build.
He's looking a little thin these
Now, his former beau... Nikki Bella, fresh off of her run on Traitors.
Oh, well.
She was a surprise entrant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Although not really much of a surprise. People kind of predicted that she might. But she was entrant number 30. And so some people liked that. Some people didn't.
Where did Uso win from? What number was
20.
He? Okay.
So if you pulled 20 in your Royal Rumble pool, you're like, all right, not bad. I'm in the final third of it. Cena came in at 23. And you're like, oh, Cena's definitely winning this thing. And they actually had good star power for the wrestling fan out there, because guys like Roman Reigns don't usually compete in the Rumble, or at least they haven't in a while because they were champion. But like, yeah, good photo on Twitch and YouTube
he does,
right now.
He does look silly with the hair.
And what's also bad, though, is as soon as he turns around, just a big old bald spot on the back. It's probably years of wearing that You Can't See Me hat, but yep. It is.
Oh, that'll rip your hair right out.
But he's still jacked, though, John Cena is.
Yeah, you're right.
That's probably a headband around his arm.
No. Yeah, the face looks a little thinner, but the body's still some muscle on there.
But you had a real star-studded Rumble, like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, your guy The Miz from The Challenge.
Nice.
He was in there. Right, look at Cena now. Good pull. It's Hulk Hogan-esque.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you don't want that.
What is that, a rat tail in the middle of that?
Who's this?
What is that? What is that?
That part was maybe supposed to get combed over, maybe.
Oh, what is that? Oh, my God.
What's the harm in him wrestling in the hat? Why can't he keep the hat on? Not a lot of guys wrestling with baseball hats on.
Doesn't it get knocked off once you start grappling around?
What if he tried to pull off like the tight little flat top he used to have?
Yeah, nothing.
Like, granted, he like balded in the back, but you might still be able to pull that off.
Oh, right? Like when he debuted as the, what was his name?
No, not the prototype.
Oh, the prototype.
Just like the classic like high fade that he used to have.
It's got to be for a movie role. It's got to be.
Yeah, growing it out.
Yeah, I guess. He even said he's leaving after the Rumble to go shoot a movie in Hungary.
So that's got to be what it is.
Yeah. There was one thing. Yeah. There's a picture of John Cena online. It's like, oh, yeah, follow John Cena your whole life, and now you realize he looks just like Ernest. So there's like a side-by-side photo of John Cena and Ernest from the Ernest movies, and they're practically
rest
twins.
In peace. Jim Barney.
He's no longer.
Didn't get enough credit as a sex symbol.
No.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's kind of goofy. Yeah, is he? Handsome, though.
Ladies like to laugh.
But overall, I would say a good Rumble. I enjoyed the Rumble. I liked the surprise finish with Jey Uso. The other two matches were both good. There was a tag team match that was good. And then the Rhodes-Owens fight, which is like a 25-minute ladder match. A lot of big spots. So it was good.
1 to 10, grade it.
I'd say like 8.5.
Philly?
I agree with that.
Good solid 8.5.
You know what the problem was, though?
What's that?
And there was 4 matches.
That's
literally
right.
4 matches took 4 hours.
God, well,
over.
Unbeknownst to me. I was so
over.
Mad.
Well, that was the thing, too. It's like I saw it online. It's like, oh, 6 p.m. I'm like, all right, so that's the pre-show. I go, maybe it starts at 7.
Dude, I got in at 8 o'clock. I saw the tail end of the tag team match, and then there was like 15 minutes of like commercials and preamble to get the ring ready, I guess, for the ladder match.
Good line in Twitch from our guy, Monty Mac. Can't imagine betting on something that the winner is actually predetermined, .. Like the Super Bowl.
Take the Chiefs.
There it is.
Take the Chiefs.
You go ahead and bet the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's your Rumble recap with Rich Keefe. You can jump in, 617-779-7937 on the phones. We'll get back to Myles Garrett, his trade request, the Patriots, their coaching staff coming together. More thoughts on Super Bowl 59 as well. That's next.